Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to welcome back Whitney Elkin Hutton to the show. Whitney, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me back on. I look forward to discussing hotels.
Totally. Yes. Yeah, so if you all have not heard Whitney's first episode, she talks all about her story in real estate, and it's very inspiring. And I always love chatting with Whitney because she just is just a wealth of information, really great at educating folks on real estate investing. And today, we're going to talk about hotels, which is a unique asset class that we don't typically talk about on this show, but we're always interested in interesting real estate niches that are cash flowing, have an underlying asset, and potentially recession resilient play. So really interested to hear about all about hotels from Whitney. So tell us, Whitney, what is attracting you? And I know you're with passiveinvesting.com and your firm to hotels right now.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for the introduction. I am the director of investor education here at passiveinvesting.com. And so I get to talk about real estate all day long with investors and help them identify the different strategies that we have within our firm that could fit within their portfolio based on what they need, cash flow, equity, diversification, tax benefits. And yeah, we are bringing on a new vertical for us. It doesn't really feel that new to us because we've been working on it for like over 2 years.
Yeah.
Before COVID even, like back in 2019. And then COVID hit and we're kind of like, we should push pause.
Yeah.
And like, you know, really observe what's going to happen here. And that is the hotel space. And so, you know, when you think about hotels, there's all different levels, right? You've got your full service, like conference center, wedding venue, you know, type of hotel, right? Like the everything under the sun, food, bev, right? The whole thing. Then you've got the other end of the spectrum, which is like, you know, very budget, like on the side of the road, like, you know, you just need a place to rest your head type of hotel. For us, we're looking more to invest in the limited space, or excuse me, limited services hotel piece. So this is going to be where there might be, you know, one or two restaurants on the property, but we're not, you know, a conference center or a wedding venue or anything like that. We're just looking for the traveler who wants some additional luxury above just a budget hotel, but, you know, doesn't need like all of the full service, like golf courses and massage center and all that. And then, you know, so you have the different kind of levels of service. Then you're also wanting to focus on, you know, if it's going to be corporate versus leisure type of hotel. And we're open to both. Right now, we're focusing on the leisure that has a kind of a corporate overlay to it. You know, corporate isn't fully back in full swing. I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of trends that it's coming back online. But, you know, the leisure, I mean, really during COVID, outside from the first like couple months, you know, maybe 6 weeks, you know, it slowed down a little bit, but it, I mean, we were all, that was one of the things that we could do. We jumped in our cars and we're like, where can we go? We can't get on an airplane. Where can we go? Where can we drive to? So we're looking for the hotels that are leisure oriented with a corporate overlay in some of those very drivable locations. And so our first deal, you know, I don't know when you're listening to this, but in one of our deals that we have open right now is in Hilton Head, South Carolina. It's actually branded as an IHG hotel. So, you know, it's a very nice hotel. We're looking to actually keep the branding on the hotel. So we're renegotiating that. But that's not always, we might, you know, look for a non-branded hotel too, right? Because then we can try and shop that around. So there's, I guess what I'm trying to get at with hotels, you've got to take into consideration the level of the hotel. What is it best use of the hotel? Is it going to be like corporate or leisure or some sort of hybrid blend? And we're looking for that blend with a very strong leisure component right now. And then also, like, is it branded versus non-branded? So it's a lot to take into account.
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. And so Why did you guys decide to focus on kind of that particular tier, which is like a little bit of luxury, but not full service?
Yeah, it's really when you look at the stabilized, returns overall, and it provides the most stabilized returns in cash flow and, you know, appreciation and value without having to have a large overhead or expense.
Okay.
Quite frankly. So you can kind of get the best bang for your buck without having to have like high operational expenditures.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense just to figure out where exactly you want to be in that, in the tiers of hotel offerings. And then what about COVID trends, right? So like, I mean, I know that obviously during 2020, 2021, and even into 2022, people are not flying as much, but as people start flying again, I mean, then of course we may be headed into a recession at some point, but you know, what makes you feel comfortable about these like drivable destinations and leisure? Cause like, what if people do start flying abroad more for their vacations?
Yeah. So we're looking for, you know, markets to invest in markets where honestly, like pre-COVID were very strong. And they were strong during COVID and they're even stronger now. So, you know, we don't see, even whenever people start flying abroad again, I don't think it's going to be like a light switch, flip it on and like all of a sudden poop, nobody's driving like, you know, 300 miles to their favorite like beach destination. I don't see that happening. But, you know, we're looking for markets where that trend was already there. That travel trend was already there. You take into account Hilton Head. I mean, you have millions of people that live really close by to Hilton Head, and that is a natural destination in and of itself, regardless of air travel or international travel. And so those are the type of markets that we're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And so how are you preparing for a potential recession when you're thinking about, because obviously, I mean, you know, we always talk about how everyone needs a place to live, but in hospitality, and I mean, I'm an Airbnb host, so I'm in hospitality too, but how do you view the potential, you know, it's like, I mean, it obviously is a discretionary expense to go and travel. How do you put that into context in terms of a potential recession and this particular offering?
Yeah. And we can also kind of like dovetail this into like a little bit of the inflation conversation. And the beautiful thing about hotels is that, you know, okay, let's back it up. Like if you have a multifamily building, how many times a year do you get to adjust the lease?
Once.
Self-storage?
Monthly.
Okay.
And hotels is daily.
And hotels, daily, yeah. Right? We get to be very responsive to the market. So I have short-term rentals too. You know, we're using, you know, a dynamic pricing model to, you know, respond to, you know, the market and the market demand. So, you know, we're not looking to have the hotel 100% occupied every single night. That's not what you're trying to achieve. But we're looking for, it's kind of like a multifamily. You know, we have dynamic pricing, you know, at least the ones that we buy and a lot of operators too. We have dynamic pricing models too. We're not looking to be 100% occupied on the multifamily, but stay like in that 90-95 sweet spot so we can capture the most rent. But on the hotels, we can be very responsive on that monthly rent. When we're underwriting, we're looking to underwrite at a 45% occupancy. That is unprecedented historical lows. Now, most people go, what about COVID? It fell to like 65, in some markets, 60%. Now, and we're talking, you know, the limited, you know, services space that were leisure driven, you know, corporate overlay, right? So, you know, we're talking in this band that we're like actually like looking to acquire in. So it would have to be COVID plus something else. And that just gets us to break even. Right? And we haven't lost on anything.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty great. Definitely. I love the comparison of like, you know, 45% break even. I'm assuming that's economic occupancy.
Yes.
Okay. And when you compare that to what it was during COVID, you know, which is like the ultimate sensitivity test, you might say, especially for something like hotels. So that is definitely, yeah, that's great to be able to have such a conservative break-even occupancy.
Yeah. You know, you talked about, you brought up a really good point there, like very like, you know, a lot of listeners here have short-term rentals. That's probably why they're attracted to the hospitality space, is because you don't have a renter that doesn't pay rent. Like they paid, they've already paid, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. I mean, I definitely can relate to that. And, you know, I mean, in the COVID times that like you had, at least they're paying, you know, even if the demand is down, you're not necessarily stuck with a tenant who's not paying rent, right? So, okay, very interesting. And so is there any front desk service? Like, tell me a little bit about the operational play that you're focused on. I'm sure it could vary by location, but just whatever you want to say about that.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, these are operated just like, you know, your Hilton, you know, or Marriott that you go into, right? You know, you're going to check in, right? These are, you know, we're looking to buy, I mean, we're not going to be partial to a brand, but I'm sure everybody has their brand. For me, I like Marriott, La Quinta. Like if I'm like traveling through Kansas, like I've got my, like, you know, my standards, but you know, I yeah. love Marriott, and like, so you know what to expect. Right. And, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, we're not afraid of doing an unbranded hotel, but the, you know, the brand does bring a lot of power to it mm-hmm. because you're going to have certain standards that you got to have for the hotel, certain branding, certain marketing, certain training staff that is just going to, you know, put your, you know, your traveler at ease whenever they come to the hotel.
Okay. So is your team going to be the operator as well, or will you hire operators like Marriott?
So Marriott doesn't do the operations, but there's hotel okay. management. You know, our business partner on the management side is Aileron Hotel Management Company. So they've done hotel and development as well. And so we have a very experienced partner there. They've been, not only are they going to run the day-to-day operations, they're full service. So they're not only going to have the day-to-day operations, they'll have the accounting piece of it as well, tax, financials, everything. And so they're very respected in the space. So, you know, we've been partnering with them for over 2 years to really make sure that, you know, the people that we were consulting with, like to help with the acquisitions, you know, knew what they were doing, but also that we could execute on the plan very well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So then are these acquisitions or new builds? You did mention one acquisition at least, right?
Yeah. So it's a new, you know, we just kickstarted our first acquisition in Hilton Head. That is a property that was built, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but like in the 1990s, and then renovated again in like 2016. And so we're going to take over, you know, the property again, or take over the property, and then we will put a light value add onto it. You know, we're going to redo a lot of the awnings. We're going to, you know, update some of the exteriors. There's also 5 acres on this property. So this is kind of a unique play for us because we're looking for kind of that core asset, core plus asset. We're not having to do a whole lot with the actual renovations of the property, you know, so we don't have to get into labor issues or supply chain issues. But this particular property does have 5 acres. And we're kind of like interested to see, like, over the, you know, next like 24, 36 months, what, you know, what the stars are telling us to like build here. But there's several different things that we can do here from an amenity perspective and really boost the property. The value here, there's a couple of different things. One, a little bit of light rehab, maintain, renegotiating the branding contract. I mean, these contracts are like 10, 15, 20 year contracts. So renegotiating the branding contract, when we go to exit this particular property, that's going to be a huge upsell for us because mm-hmm. the next buyer won't have to do that. And then also when we look at the actual layout of the property, there, the front office, the front check-in is in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that right there is going to help solve a lot of like the high level issues on the property. So we're going to like move the registration back to where it should be on the property.
Okay. Interesting. And when you say light value add, is that just like kind of making the, doing like external renovations or, you know?
Yeah, it was interiorly renovated just recently. You know, we'll have to, you know, as things wear down, like linens, curtains, stuff like that, you know, flooring, we'll have to like, you know, update those type of things. You know, the awnings we're going to update, you know, across the entire property. And then, you know, and this is just one case of a potential value add. But in this one, the reason why I called it a value add is because we've got these 5 acres that we can do whatever we want with. Like, We can add rec center amenities, spa if we wanted to. We can do a lot there. We could add some additional food and bev. We have it budgeted in to do some projects, but we're kind of waiting to see once we acquire the property, what's really truly needed on that property.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Very interesting. So can you just help us understand for listeners who are maybe new to considering hotels as an asset class? Obviously we've talked about how there's a hedge against inflation because we can change prices on a daily basis. How else would you kind of, compare a hotel as hotels as an asset class to, let's say, multifamily or self-storage?
Yeah. And so in this particular case, it's going to have a similar probably return profile as multifamily and self-storage, at least the ones, what we're looking to purchase in. Right now, we're offering an 8% preferred return and 70-30 split to 13% IRR. So pretty standard from what you can expect to see from us across our other deals. From a tax perspective, that is, you're going to get some tax. We're going to be able to do a cost segregation analysis and accelerate depreciation to the early years of the project. So we'll be able to create some nice losses for our investors. Right now, we're telling them pretty much the same numbers on our multifamily, 40 to 45% for share losses. Now, each project's different. Right. Case in point, if we got this 5 acres in year one, we start building on it, that just bumps up all the losses. But, each project is going to be different. That kind of goes, space to space. But yeah, this is going to have a nice blend of cash flow. Again, whenever we talk, I try to couch it in capital preservation, cash flow appreciation, and tax benefits. This is going to have a nice blend profile across them. Also, you're getting exposure to a different type of business plan that can adjust on a daily basis. Some people love that. Some people don't.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it definitely has its benefits, right? Okay, cool. Well, and in terms of, because obviously you can increase your prices as the market, changes, but then if people start traveling less, then there could be some constriction. But like you said, the break-even occupancy is very, very low. So,
I mean, at the time we were recording this, I know the question is everybody going to start traveling overseas? Well, right now we're seeing soaring gasoline prices.
Yeah.
And is it hitting you at the pump?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit, right? But where is it really hitting you if you're trying to buy an airplane ticket? Yeah. So I think, I think this trend of local travel is, it's kind of here to stay for at least for, the next, I think, 5, 7, 10 years, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it does make sense. It's less expensive to travel locally in general overall, right, than international travel. Okay, very cool. Well, thank you so much, Whitney, for going over, this asset class. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and this offering that you have and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Join me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. And there you can just fill out a little form and then we can jump on a phone call. You'll get the view of my schedule. I love talking all things real estate. We can hop on a phone call and I can share with you the open projects that we have, open offerings, but also just, figure out what your investing goals are and what you're looking to do with real estate.
Awesome stuff. Well, I encourage you all to go and check out Whitney's website and connect with her. Thank you so much, Whitney, for coming on the show. We will see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.